below. Well, we're live.
Yes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Eurofolk Radio live again. And we're still having issues with the volume control on the music. So be that as it may, the important thing is that we're live. This is November 2nd, 2018. You're listening.
This is the tooth of November.
Okay. You're pulling my leg.
I need more coffee.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Steve's not hyper enough. So what we're seeing here, folks, is wow, the world is going crazy. And there's just no telling how crazy it's going to get. We know it's going to get a lot crazier than it is already. The prediction by George Washington in his three-part vision at Valley Forge said very clearly that there will be fighting in the streets, hand-to-hand combat in virtually every city in America in the third part of his vision. And we're just about there. We're just about there.
You know, this show is Yahweh's covenant people. And this is all about how all these things affect the covenant people.
Yes.
You know, what's going on and how does it affect us as Israelites? You know, the remnant.
Yes.
If we can help people prepare, help people with health issues, help people with whatever information, it's absolutely essential in these last days, and these are the last days. You can see that, folks. I mean, it's just sticks out like a sore thumb. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I mean, the individual acts of violence that are not reported, let alone the fake ones that are reported. I mean, the stuff they won't report. Because it happens to white people.
Right. Yeah, crime against whites is ignored, and crimes, so-called pretend crimes against Jews, blacks, and others, is hyped to the hilt, to the absolute hilt.
Hate crimes. Yes.
Yeah, right. So this, just briefly, we want to talk about this Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, the so-called Tree of Life synagogue. Well, I know for a fact that last spring, the Homeland Security ran drills in the neighborhood of this. Imagine that, another drill.
They do all these practice things. I mean, it just, and the American people just suck up and don't. They ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And the news media, well, they believe whatever the news media tells them.
Now, supposedly 11 people were killed, and I saw one post that had the pictures of the people. I haven't gotten any names yet, haven't got any verification of the dead, kind of like Sandy Hook, that, they gave us names of people, but they weren't allowed to view the autopsy reports. So there was no proof that anybody was killed at Sandy Hook, right?
And then later on, some of the people showed up alive.
crisis actors. There you go, right? And how many Jews do you think could be crisis actors? So Jews wouldn't do stuff like that, would they? Pretend to be shot and really be alive, right? It's all one big movie set. This is Hollywood, folks. It's Hollywood-style news.
Holy weird, absolutely.
Okay, so the verdict is not yet in as to whether this actually happened, whether anybody really died, etc., etc. What Mr. Bowers, the shooter, is accused of, and Gab.com was taken down, deplatformed, because it made one of his posts, and in one of his posts he said that a Jewish organization, I can't remember the name of the organization.
It's another alphabet thing.
Yeah, it's an alphabet soup designation. But he pointed out that this Jewish group was giving aid and comfort to illegal aliens at our southern border. And for that reason, he thought that the Jews were, traitors. And that's why he's going to do something. And now, that's true. The Jews and the Catholic Church. Let's not let the Catholic Church off, too. They have been harboring illegal aliens.
Jews again. That's it. Right. You got a Jew pope.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's so, the epitome of Judeo-Christianity with the emphasis on Judeo.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good pretext for doing what he supposedly did. But did he actually do it? And is he a Manchurian candidate or not? Was he brainwashed into performing this act like Sirhan Sirhan was? Okay. So it remains to be seen.
The Jews will use their own little Jews as cannon fodder because they're not important.
That's right. They're not important.
And then they'll play up all the sympathy like they are doing. It's on maximum overdrive.
Right.
The sympathy machine is cranking it out.
The sympathy symphony, right?
Well, whatever, but it's blatantly obvious, they're getting all these donations. That's what it's all about.
Right.
Like the Jews need more money.
Yeah, right. Well, at last count, there are at least, this was several days ago, $150,000 donated to the synagogue, and I'm sure that's increased a lot since,
that buys a lot of bagels.
That's right. And a lot of fake news. Lots of fake news. So what we're seeing here is nothing but a continuation. Whether the event is real or not, it's going to be exploited by the kosher press as a quote-unquote anti-Semitic incident, as a hate crime. And who gets the blame, Pastor Steve?
All the alt-right and the neo-Nazis and the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Trump was up there. He went up there, but he didn't have any comment.
Right.
He looked around, and evidently something didn't ring true with him, so he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and he had the temerity to tell the truth about Charlottesville. He said, "I saw violence on both sides." And the mainstream press just came down on him. No, no, the left doesn't commit violent acts. Only the right commits violent acts. Really? Really? You expect anybody to believe that? But they never let up. And his correspondent there, Sarah Sanders.
They don't let up.
Yeah, she's been taking all the heat. And she's been doing very well. She's been calling these fakers out, these liars called journalists. Yellow journalists is what they are, right? So the verdict is not in yet, folks, but it sure has all the feel of another Sandy Hook. It sure does, okay? So, Sandy Hook Revisited at the Tree of Life.
I was laughing. Eli sent me a thing about a Chinese laundry detergent commercial, and there's this skanky looking black guy comes out, and the little cute little Chinese gal is going to do laundry, and he comes up, tries to kiss her and everything. She sticks the tablet of laundry detergent in his mouth and stuffs him in the washing machine, and a few minutes later he comes out as a nice clean Chinese guy,
right?
white looking Chinese, and these are very light skinned Chinese.
All right,
and they're claiming that that's racist in China,
right?
And I think the Chinese got a big. You don't see the blacks over there; they don't let them in.
No, they're very racist.
With Japan, there may be a few in Japan, but they're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Not particularly. Yeah. They want racial separatism. You don't see any Chinese in Japan. You
right.
don't see any Japanese in China.
That's right.
The people, they have their culture. They have their separate Oriental race. They're all Orientals, but they have they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole demeanor, their appearance, their body structure is different.
Yeah.
And they want to remain separate. They're separate societies. They don't like Americans over there. They're not accepted.
Yeah.
Half-breeds are frowned upon. They are discriminated against in Japan very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't publicize that.
Right. Right. Yeah, and the black superheroes don't play well in Oriental theaters. Yeah.
No.
They see the black superhero, they leave. Okay? So this attempt to brainwash the world that race mixing is good only works in white society, because white people are, well, they're genteel, right? They tolerate stupidity too long, too much, okay? And
yeah,
that's what's
and
happening.
They have this white guilt syndrome that
right?
they promoted.
Yeah, yeah, especially in
okay.
Sweden. Yeah.
And,
all right. Okay, so the subject for today is the practice in ancient Israel of the law. And the fact that there were no jails or prisons, there may have been temporary holding areas for people who were accused.
You get dry water pits. You know,
yeah, right.
They would toss you down a well
and
toss a little food down every once in a while. You starved.
Yeah.
Until you went to trial before the legal
right.
system. And then if
yes.
you owed a debt to someone and you couldn't pay the debt, you were into involuntary servitude at a fixed rate until you paid off.
That's
that
correct.
Debt.
That's correct. And that is
if
not
you committed
slavery.
A crime and you harmed someone, whatever you did to them, they would do to you. If you caused a guy to lose a hand, they cut off your hand. If you killed someone due to an act of violence, due to a robbery or whatever, you were put to death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They didn't give you big prison terms. They didn't support you. They didn't give you cable TV. They killed you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it seems from my reading of the scriptures, Pastor Steve, that any sort of miscreant was the Israelites knew each other, right? And nobody could get away with rape or murder or theft without being found out, okay? Because there's a close, tight-knit community of Israelites, and anybody who committed such a crime would be easily kept track of, okay? Unless he would slip out of the territory, in which case that person would be on his own.
Or went to one of the cities of refuge.
Of refuge. Right, right. If you killed somebody.
But that was only for accidental.
Yes.
Life loss, not yeah. for deliberate
accident.
Murder.
Right, accidental. And because that was to prevent an avenging relative from taking the law into his or her own hands, okay? That's what the sanctuary cities.
The kinsman avenger.
That's right. That's right. So this article here from www.bible.ca, I assume that means California. I don't know. Or Canada. Maybe it means Canada. All right. Sin, no jails, prisons in Judaism. Well, the Old Testament is not Judaism. It's the Mosaic Law. The title here, The Criminal Code of Ancient Israel. Slavery in the Bible versus jails and prison, a comparison of the two systems. Now, you and I and many of us here at Eurofolk Radio have addressed this subject, saying there was no such thing as a prison system in ancient Israel, okay? And that the
nope.
Israelites had a
nope.
much far superior system of justice
you
than we have today.
You became a slave for a certain period of time.
Right.
I think it was 7 years. And then you were free.
Mm-hmm. And slavery is actually the wrong term to use, because it's not equivalent to chattel slavery, where you belong to the owner for the rest
That's
of your
right.
life. Okay? So slavery is a word that shouldn't even be used. You use the correct term. Indentured.
Should be involuntary servitude.
Yeah, indentured servitude. Indentured for the time period that the sentence prescribed. Okay? That is a big difference.
Well, now, hold on. When there was emigration to the New World before America was formed, people would sell themselves into indentured servitude for passage to the New World because problems in England were so great. When they got here, they went to work for wealthy families for so many years until that debt was paid.
Right, right. Or for so many years, whatever the terms of the contract.
Yeah, whatever it was, there was a legal contract.
Yeah.
It was voluntary for the passage over here.
Amen, amen. So that's far different from slavery, which is totally involuntary, okay? And it's not to pay the price for a criminal act, all right? It's just, you know, the one person owns the other, period, all right? End of story, you know, it's no more complicated than that, all right? So the next heading here is no jails in the law of Moses. And then it says underneath that, no jails in Judaism. All right. Well, the authors here mistake Judaism for the law of Moses. Anybody
That's common.
Sure. Right. Right. So anybody who thinks that Judaism is based on the law of Moses does not know anything about the Talmud. And that's a pure ignorance on their part. Okay. Because the Jews themselves admit that they do not obey the Mosaic law. They have their own law, called the Talmud. Okay. Next sentence. God's perfect justice system has no jails. That's correct. But it's not Judaism. In fact, the Jews still practice slavery today. They always have. The Jews have always been involved in slavery throughout their entire...
slavery, where
exactly.
They kidnap these girls.
Right.
And sell them as prostitutes.
Yes. Even today. Throughout history, the Jews have cooperated
the
with the Muslims.
Bears.
Yes.
The main purveyors of that.
Yes. All right. Next line, God chose slavery rather than prison. That is correct. Slavery instead of jails in Mosaic legal system. Now, I wonder if they actually get into the concept of indentured servitude. Let me say here right off the bat, ladies and gentlemen, the Israelite, this law only applied to Israelites. It did not apply to non-Israelites because the non-Israelites weren't allowed to live among the Israelites. All right?
That's right.
So there was never such a thing as a black person or an Arab living in an Israelite town where he would be able to commit a crime against Israelites. That person would have been killed.
Yeah, if you weren't an Israelite and you did something violent, they would just kill you.
Yeah, they'd get rid of you. So this law applies only to Israelites and to no other people, okay? He goes on, have you ever noticed that there were no prisons in the law of Moses? People were stoned, beaten, fined, but never sent to prison or confined in any way, including shackles or stocks, etc. Or at least there's no, if that ever happened, there's no record of it in the Bible or in any other literature.
You get so many stripes with a cane, they
cane okay.
You.
Right, okay. And let you know.
Pretty brutal sometimes.
All right. It was brutal, but they weren't confined. Now, as you said, they could throw you in a pit so you couldn't get away, which is a form of confinement. But it was all only for the upcoming trial, okay? Mm-hmm. Because some people would run away, especially if they're guilty. This brand new study sheds, well, it's not brand new. I mean, we've talked about this many times on Eurofolk Radio. It's probably brand new for Judeo-Christians. This brand new study sheds a positive light on the role slavery had, and it should be indentured servitude, had in rehabilitating criminals and providing welfare for the poor. Confinement was something completely foreign in the Israelite, not Jewish, legal system, and it's more properly the Mosaic legal system.
Again, for indentured servitude, if someone in your family owed a debt and you had a son or a daughter that was able to work, you would sell that son or daughter because the father was the owner until they reached their maturity.
Mm-hmm.
he would sell them as indentured servitude. And they would have to work to pay off the other family members' debt.
Right. Yeah.
And with the girl, if the guy that purchased her services wanted to fool around with her, he had to pay the father a bride price and had to take her as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
She okay. was not. It was not open season on an Israelite female.
Right. Right. So there were very strict rules, and in every case, except there were obviously, if she winds up marrying her so-called owner, then or purchaser of her services, then obviously the rules change. Okay, and now she becomes his wife. Okay. Now, whether he lets off the other family, I would imagine that was included.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? That debt was canceled. That's
right.
It.
The debt would be canceled by these arrangements.
And then they had the Jubilee year if you had a massive debt.
Yeah.
And you had to basically rent out your land to the guy to farm your land. And he had possession of it until the Jubilee year. And then it went out. It was yours again.
Yeah, right. Introduction. God never instructed Israel in the law of Moses to ever put anyone in prison. There were no jails in the original judicial system of the Hebrews. Now, most of these trials were actually conducted out in open air, usually in the gates.
Yeah, they were at the city gates where all the judges sat.
Right.
Where they sat. Yeah.
So it's like everybody could witness it. Anybody who wanted to could be there. Okay. So people would take sides at these trials, right? Until the matter was resolved. Okay. So it was one of those issues where this was very, very public. And the sentence was public. So that everybody in the neighborhood knew that if Israelite A was convicted and forced into indentured servitude, okay, well, you either accepted the terms that the judge ruled, or, you know, you'd be in trouble otherwise, okay? So the easiest way to get out of trouble is to simply accept the terms of the indentured servitude. You get that over with and move on, okay? Never
well,
was
they
there...
didn't give you a choice, and if you resisted, they would beat you until you did comply.
Right, exactly. So that part of it was forced, but never forever, as we think of in terms of
7
slavery.
7 years max.
Right, right. And then when the actual Jubilee year came up, all debts were forgiven, and every Israelite that ever had sold property or lost their property in through debt or whatever, it was restored to them. Everything was restored. That's why it's called a Jubilee, because everybody was happy to get all their stuff back, right? So when was the last time the Jews declared a Jubilee, right? Gave us our stuff back? It never going to happen, folks. Okay. 1A, in place of prisons, God provided a better system. They call it slavery. It's not slavery. It's indentured servitude. Modern people read the word slavery, and what they think of is Southern slavery or world slavery. No, this is completely different. This is a forced reckoning of your debt you owe to your victim. That's what this is. Cannot call that slavery. It's a poor choice of words. B, confinement of any type, including jail, stocks, shackles, hooks, was something completely foreign in the Israelite legal system. That is correct. Okay, I have never, in having read through the Bible several times, one time all the way through, when I was writing The Great Impersonation, and several times skimming through it, I never found any evidence of jails. No, never. Okay.
Not under the Israelites.
Not under the Israelites.
Other nations, yes.
Yes, okay. 2, jails predated the law of Moses by over 500 years. A, Joseph confined to a pit by his brothers and was also cast into prison in Egypt around 1905 B.C. Now that was Egypt. He was actually behind bars. Okay. No evidence that the Israelites ever did this to each other.
they called it the House of Confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was a workhouse.
Right. Okay. Yeah, which it should be. They have a photograph here of a chain gang working and cleaning the streets, right? That's what it should be. That's what, you should learn. You should work. Arbeit macht frei, right? B. 2 weeks before the law of Moses was given on Mount Sinai, a man was put in confinement in the wilderness of Sin for gathering sticks on the Sabbath. This was before the law of Moses was revealed. So the Israelites were practicing the traditions of the land before the law of Moses was given. Quote,
he was put in a tent, and the tent was guarded. That was the confinement.
Right. Okay.
That was it. You don't leave the tent.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like he wasn't behind bars. Of course, they didn't have bars in those days. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." That's Numbers 15:33-35. Now,
he profaned the holy day of the Shabbat.
Right, right. And a part of the problem was because he had to kindle a fire. And in those days, kindling a fire was a lot of work. And if you're doing this on the Shabbat, the Shabbat, then you're taking time away from worship of Yahweh, okay? So this, in those days, was a very, very serious offense, and especially, and probably had done this more than once, okay? Because the whole story isn't told here. It's quite possible he had done this more than once, and so Moses and Aaron and the Israelites were simply fed up with this person, okay? C. Samson was cast in a Philistine prison in Gaza in 1050 BC. D. The first time anyone is cast into an Israelite Hebrew prison was Ahab in 853 BC. That's 1 Kings 22:27. Now that's interesting. I didn't notice that. Let me look this up in Esword. And again, this is 1 Kings 22:27. Let's see what it actually says there. 1 Kings. Let me get there, folks. So, 22. That's at the very end of the book of Kings. It's about midway through the last chapter here. So, Ahab. Now, Ahab at this point would have been considered a foreigner, right? Because Ahab was part of the apostate ten tribes of Israel that had rebelled against Solomon. Okay?
Yeah.
First Kings 22:27. So whether whether Ahab was considered a brother of the Israelites is another matter, right? They would not have. Because his wife was Jezebel, after all, right? Who had tried to kill Elijah the prophet. And it says this, "And say thus, saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, until I come in peace." Now, I would suspect, Pastor Steve, that the king might have had his own area of confinement, so that certain suspects.
And the bread of affliction and the water of affliction is a good sound beating every day.
Right?
I'm not kidding. That's not a joke.
Okay.
That was it.
Until I come in peace. Okay. So they had to control this person until the trial. All right? Because even with swift justice, and most of the time it was very swift in ancient Israel, you had to gather the witnesses, right? You had to gather, you know, both sides of the story, persons who would vouch for the person's character, others who would condemn him. And it takes time. And these people have to be contacted, and they have to be all assembled for the trial, okay? So they would have to confine this person so he wouldn't escape in the meantime. But what they didn't have, from my understanding of Scripture, they didn't have a jail cell with bars, but they did have areas of confinement that were heavily guarded, okay, so that the person couldn't get away, all right, until the trial, Okay.
Well, they would stick them down in an empty well. Mm-hmm. Something that didn't have, or it had mud and slime in the bottom, but it wasn't a good well anymore.
Right.
And they'd
get
stuck in the mud, and they'd had to haul them up by ropes, remember?
Right. Yep. Okay.
And
so that was...
They all hauled the one prophet up by ropes.
Because
he was stuck in the mud up to his waist. Couldn't get out.
Yes. Yes. E. In 650 BC, the Assyrians captured Manasseh, and he was carried away bound in chains with a hook in his nose. Wow. Therefore, Yahweh brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. 2 Chronicles 33:11.
Yep.
Okay. In face of all the surrounding nations had prisons, but not Israel, as a direct provision of the law. Later in Israel's history, especially in the period starting with the kings, there were prisons. Now, let me put it this way.
They were emulating the nations around them.
Right, right, absolutely.
Which was a sign of their apostasy.
Amen, amen. But even so, within the neighborhoods of the Israelites, people knew each other very well, okay? Where could somebody flee to? If you left the company of your fellow Israelites, you would have to go into the wilderness or into hostile territory. That would not be good either way. Okay? So these people, and I don't think that many Israelites were guilty of murder. There wasn't that type of crime. Just like in white communities today, murder is very rare, unlike the black community, where murder is 20 times as prevalent as in the white. Yeah, it's a hobby. It's a rite of passage, right? Okay. So these horrible offenses were rare. Now, every once in a while, your ox might gore somebody, or your neighbor might accidentally fall into a pit you had made to capture an animal, right? An unmarked pit. And so you would be guilty of, not an accessory. What's the term I'm looking for? Where you don't intentionally hurt somebody. Manslaughter, I guess, would be a good, you didn't do it intentionally, right, but it happened anyway, and you're responsible. Okay? Those are the worst offenses that are covered in the Bible. Very rarely did one Israelite murder another Israelite. That was extremely rare. Number three. Every legal system in the world is based upon the Old Testament law of Moses. Well, I wouldn't go that far. You know, the Africans and the Chinese, I don't think their legal system had anything to do with the Old Testament. They didn't have trials. If the king accused you, if the emperor accused you, or his local representative accused you, you're guilty. That's that. Right? There was no basis on the Old Testament. Those societies.
The Africans, they would take you out to lunch.
Right, exactly.
And you would be the lunch.
That's right, you would be served. A, the Mosaic judicial and penal system was all-encompassing, complex, and divinely inspired. That's perfectly correct. B, we have come to accept jail as a standard method of corrections, when in fact it has never been God's way. Now here's something we need to point out. That the system we have today of jails and, bail bondsmen and all of the so-called...
The whole system.
The whole system is Jewish.
They're trying to strip you of all your property.
That's right. It's Jewish.
Because it's run by the Jews.
That's right. Who are not Israelites.
The system of justice.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Now, I wonder if this person who wrote this article has any idea that it's the Jews who are mainly responsible for this really awful judicial system that we have today, and that the vast majority of judges and lawyers are, in fact, Jews.
From what I'm reading, even if he did know, he wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, right, right. He wouldn't bring that up. Okay. All right, yeah, and yes, we have come to accept jail as a standard system. Now, But even worse than that, you can be thrown in prison just on someone else's accusation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't have the bail money, you're in trouble. Okay? So just an accusation can put you in jail. The cops will come with guns drawn and arrest you. You know, before you even know what you, if you're innocent, you don't even know what you did wrong, right? Until you go to jail and find out. Well, and then you're very, you're unable to face your accuser in person, which you have every right to do.
Even if you go to court and they find you innocent, you're going to be in jail if you can't afford bail.
Right.
For the whole time leading up to the trial, so you lose that much, and sometimes it takes a year or two.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in there if they won't, if the judge won't give you bail.
Right.
If he has something against you, and yes, they do.
That's right. So
you lose a year or two of your life with no compensation.
That's right. That's right. And the judicial system, so-called, is complicit in this injustice, okay? So innocent,
they are immune from retribution.
That's right. That's right. They're complicit in all of this injustice. And if you're lucky, you can prove yourself innocent. Sometimes you're innocent and you can't prove that you're innocent, right? And then you stay in jail. So the superiority of Yahweh's laws is obvious to anybody who has studied this subject. Now, obviously, that's the intention of the author, but he doesn't realize who's Jew and who's not, okay? All right. Jails and prisons are man's invention. That's correct. D, jails are destructive to individuals, costly to society, and ineffective in correcting anyone. I would agree with all of
They're
that, too.
Horrendously costly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Because the theft by the guards, they steal materials, they steal supplies, they pad the books. I mean, the warden of the one prison I was in had stolen $3 million worth of stuff, and they just all they did was force him to retire. They didn't prosecute him. He was black. I never saw a white warden the whole time I was in.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, in my experience, yeah, they're run by blacks and lesbians. The prison system is run by blacks and lesbians.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And Jews.
Yeah, that's right. So we're seeing a completely distorted, unbiblical prison system run by Jews, invented by Jews. And there's no doubt about that.
Well, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, wrote, "If you want to see the dregs of society, go visit your local prison at shift change."
Right. Right.
When they change the shift of the guards.
That's right.
They are the worst. They are sadistic, vindictive, a lot of queers. They take advantage of the prisoners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know,
it's not officer friendly. No,
no,
you know, like the old days.
No, they were. And after a while, if you get a good guy in there, he loses all hope, and he either quits, or he becomes like the others, or just turns a blind eye to everything.
Yeah.
Because he likes that big paycheck, and the Fed officers make big money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, it's a business now. It's actually private enterprise.
Oh, yeah, it is. They've privatized a lot of prisons for profit.
That's right. That's right.
And the prisoners get minimum everything.
Yep. Yep. Because it's a profit.
They buy train loads where a train is wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere. They have to send a car to retrieve
All the goods.
All the property off the train car. We had chicken that had been in a formerly refrigerated car and had been sitting out there for 6 weeks without refrigeration. They bought chicken and they served it to us. And it stunk.
Wow.
It absolutely stunk. And that's the food that they would serve us.
Wow.
Just wow. Oh, man.
Okay, so as we've been telling you, don't do anything that might cause you to go to prison. Try to avoid that at all costs. All right. Number 4A, they say slavery. Again, it's indentured servitude. Indentured servitude in the Bible is a perfect system. Well, it's not perfect. It was never intended to be perfect. But something has to be done to provide justice to the victim. Okay? And that's what Yahweh's legal system is all about, is providing compensation to the victim.
Right. And okay, if you harm someone and cause them a loss and you couldn't pay, they would put you in an indentured servant at minimum until you paid off that debt.
Right.
And they paid you the minimum amount and made you serve until that debt was paid.
Yes.
And if the owner got mad at you, wanted to beat you, that was okay.
Yeah. Again, that rarely happened. Okay. But there probably were times where it did happen. Okay. So, this author is trying to gloss over the system. It sounds like he's trying to praise the Jews for something that they're not worth praising for. B, we should abolish jails and the welfare system. Oh, that's good. The welfare system, absolutely, because that penalizes the working class to support the lazy. Then reinstitute slavery or indentured servitude according to the law of Moses as a substitute solution for both. That's good. I got no problem with that. Master summary chart. Huge social, economic, and personal benefits of indentured servitude over jail and welfare. I'm glad he included the welfare state, because that penalizes the working class. That's totally unfair.
That is a racket from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's a
let's have children for profit.
Right.
And you get more and more and more, and they sell that stuff.
And the welfare state is a Jewish invention. Totally Jewish invention. They used LBJ to create it. Okay. LBJ was a diehard Judeo-communist and Judeo-Zionist almost his whole life. And he most certainly has Jewish blood. So anybody who doesn't know that, they're glossing over the fact that the corrupt political system or penal system we have today is entirely Jewish. All right?
Well, they've got signs all over this town tacked up on the phone poles. Cash for diabetic test strips, because they cost so much money.
Right.
They'll buy them from these people that didn't want to drink, and they'll sell their diabetic test strips. And then these other people that buy them sell them to Walmart and stuff like that.
Wow.
It's a scam, and it's the welfare system.
Right.
And
I guess the people on welfare get those for free, diabetic test kits.
I pay for mine.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of them sitting right here.
Yeah. So, but then a drug user says, even though I'm feeling lousy because of my diabetes, I'd rather have some cocaine. That'll make me feel better, right? And because he's an addict. So this is how the welfare system promotes addiction. Right? Okay.
It's bad.
Yeah.
The whole system is so corrupt.
Yeah, it's totally corrupt.
It's so played that some of these people are experts, and they have multiple IDs.
Right. And they get multiple,
multiple benefits. Yeah.
Yep. Lots of diabetes test kits with the various identities that they use. Okay.
Well, whatever.
Right. And illegal aliens, too, right? They get free test kits.
They're treated like gold. An American-born person in need, you just fall through the cracks.
That's right.
They'll give some Cotsahunda that's come over here from Mabba Jabba land anything he wants. They get free cars.
Yeah, right.
A free place to live, free this, free that,
So here's a comparison list of the Mosaic Law versus the Jewish prison system that we have today. There were no jails in Israel, even though all surrounding nations had them. In 1905 BC, Joseph was thrown into a prison in Egypt, but we did have detention centers, no doubt about that. And of course, the modern prison system is based on jails, okay? Yep. Under the law of Moses, nobody was ever put in a jail. Today, we have millions of people locked up in jails. Under Moses, criminals or poor are indentured servants of individuals. Okay? I would imagine they could also work for the king or one of his under guards or whatever. Okay? But usually, if somebody was committing a crime against the state, that was considered treason, right? And the punishment would be very, very harsh. Usually death, okay? So the Israelites that were to become indentured servants were usually judged against at a trial, and they owed the person that they wronged. So it's usually individual versus individual, okay?
Right.
Okay? Almost always the case.
They would sue you before the law, in other words, bring you before the judges, and the judges would rule in the guy's favor, well, pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have any money. Well, then you will serve 7 years as so-and-so's servant,
mm-hmm.
and he will pay your wages for your servitude, but it will go to the man that you owe. You will get nothing.
That's right. Yeah. And then at the end of 7 years, then you can go back to your life, okay? So think twice before you do that again, all right?
I mean, there was not a lot of repeat offenders.
No. Criminals are slaves of the state in today's system. The poor are dependent on the state. That is correct. Under Israel, a man of bad character lives with a normal, well-adjusted, hard-working, and successful family as a positive mentor and role model. I don't think that's well stated here. Certainly a man of bad character is not going to be a positive mentor.
No. He lives with a normal, well-adjusted, hard-working family. And the family is
It's very poorly stated
right.
here.
Okay.
Yeah, very poorly stated.
Well, he didn't word it right.
Yeah, right. So, but then also
got his tongue in front of his eye teeth, and he couldn't
right.
say what he was saying.
Right, right. And so, I think a lot of these indentured servitude people were marked, so they could be identified as being under servitude. But there was a case where an Israelite could volunteer to be a slave, that is, indentured servitude for life, because he or she preferred.
He really liked it there, and he put his ear on the door, and the owner would drive an awl through it and pierce his ear.
Mm-hmm.
Ow!
Right.
And then he'd wear an earring, and he would be
a worker.
An actual mm-hmm. bound slave.
Right. But because his circumstances working for this individual were better than anything he could look forward to on his or her own. Okay?
But the bound slave, any children he would have would not be bound slaves.
Okay.
Unless he had children with another bound slave, then the children would be property.
Okay. All right. So this is as far as it went for actual slavery among the Israelites, and even those were treated far better, right? Because they were considered racial brethren. They were always treated well, unless the servant was acting up and continuing the bad habits.
Slavery in America was a myth with the bad treatment. They were an investment.
That's right.
You're not going to buy an expensive horse and then maltreat that horse and waste your money. Well, they had decent houses and clothes, and they could grow their own food and their own gardens. And a lot of them, they were all upset when slavery ended, they would stay right there. I want to stay with the master. He'd treat me fine.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I liked it here.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of them, they did treat him fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Jefferson Davis.
And that slavery is different than this kind of slavery. Israelites can never be an actual slave. They can be a bound servant, or they
right.
can be an indentured servant,
right?
But not a slave. They could you could not own another Israelite.
That's right. That's right. That didn't happen. Okay.
But the non-Israelites, you could own.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the system that we had here. They were non-Israelites. They were beasts of the field. They were work animals, and they were property.
Mm-hmm.
You own a mule or you own a Negro, same thing. Except the mule was smarter.
And would work, right?
Well,
all right. Sometimes, right? Okay, so under the law of Moses, criminals or poor are employed and therefore add positively to the gross domestic product and add value to the economy. Yeah, because they're forced to be productive. Under our system today, criminals cost $100,000 to $150,000 per inmate per year to the economy, causing a negative downward drag in the GDP. Welfare costs $20,000 per year. Okay. So are you beginning to see how superior Yahweh's system of justice is? Far superior. Next item. Under the Mosaic Law, criminals and poor can get married and have children, as you were just saying, adding new market share to the economy and causing economic growth. Criminals cannot get married today or have children in prison, thus forcing immigration of people who bring in a new culture and religion that slowly replaces that of the native population, further corrupting society. Well, that's a good point. I didn't think he was going to bring that up. But here, who's behind the integration of society? Bringing in outsiders, non-whites.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
Use the magic word.
Yes, right. Doesn't that J word? Okay. Under the Mosaic Law, the criminals or poor remain autonomous and self-reliant in all areas of personal life and must prepare their own food, make their own clothes, get their own firewood, and build their own shelters, unless the householder was generous and provided those things for him or her. Okay. It probably varied from one master to the other. And today's so-called justice system, criminals become dependent for food, clothing, heat, shelter, further corrupting society and having to eat rotten chicken.
Yep.
Under the Mosaic Law, rebellious and disobedient servants with no self-discipline were transformed into people of good character when they were beaten with rods as discipline, but if they suffered any physical abuse where they were disabled for more than 2 days or suffered from such beatings as a broken tooth, arm, blindness to an eye, they were automatically freed.
That's correct.
Yes, I didn't know that. That's very good.
You were not allowed to hurt them. You were allowed mm-hmm. to inflict pain.
Okay.
But not injury.
As punishment. Corporal punishment. Very good. Of course, under today's prison system, ineffective methods like timeout benches, loss of privileges, solitary confinement, etc., 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 stealing your stuff seems to be the primary tactic. Just taking what little you have away from you is what really happens most of the time. Okay,
were a lot of guys in the joint that would deliberately just force them to put them in solitary.
Mm-hmm.
If they try to put anybody else in the cell, they just smack them. Just knock them right back out of the hall.
Right.
And they would get extra time, but they wanted to do their whole prison sentence alone. They didn't want to be with the other inmates.
Right. And then, yeah, that's happened to many Christian identity prisoners. They try to force you to share a cell with a non-white.
Yep. Well, I spent a lot of time in the hole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they raided my locker and destroyed all my stuff. You know the story on that.
Yeah.
I mailed all that stuff out to you just to preserve it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think the prison system says that you can't be forced to share a cell with someone of another race. That's simply...
Well, the prison system says that, but try it sometime.
Right, right. So you have to defend your right to be left alone.
Oh, you don't want to share a cell? Well, we're gonna give you your own cell.
Yeah.
Solitary.
Exactly, exactly. Right, so...
You may see a meal every once in a while,
yes,
but it's going to show on the books that you were fed.
Mm-hmm.
They would feed you pork, knowing that you couldn't eat pork.
Yeah, right.
And they did that to me all the time.
Yes.
And I wouldn't eat it. You going on a hunger strike? We're going to force you to eat. I said, just bring me something that's not pork. I'm not going to eat anything on a tray with pork. It renders the whole tray unclean.
Right.
You know my religious belief. I don't eat pork. I'm an Israelite.
Right. Well, they honor that for Jews in prison. Why wouldn't they honor it for you?
Well.
Okay.
Because the head
double
of the
standard
prison,
again.
Prison, the prison inside the prison was a straight up thug.
Right.
Now, the chaplain,
yeah,
would copy my stuff and use it in a sermon. They reactivated him in the military and sent him back to Iraq as punishment.
Yeah, that was a good chaplain. I had several opportunities to talk to him by phone, and I could tell he was a really decent guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
He sure liked my Bible translator.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
All the stuff that you got was through him.
Right. Very good. Because I was trying to arrange a visit to visit you at that prison, and they just fought.
They wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, the prison administration fought us and prevented that from happening. But in any case, this is a very important point next. Slavery could, or that is indentured servitude, could only last a maximum of 7 years. Then they were released on the sabbatical 7th year. Okay.
Yep.
So sometimes they were released before a 7th year. So, I mean, can you get any more fair than that?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Today, prison can last for life.
Yep.
Okay. Right? We're running out of time, so let me just go to the last couple here. Slaves or indentured servants were treated like modern employees. Not bad. Right?
Yeah.
Prisoners today are treated like animals. Right? Now remember,
they treat animals better.
Yeah, they treat animals better, right? And these indentured servants were Israelites. They were not non-Israelites. It was very rare to find a non-Israelite in an Israelite community. And as we said earlier, more than likely, if such a person acted up, he would be killed. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't even waste any time with a non-Israelite. So, So, and then he says, indentured servitude begets children who are productive. Okay. They would get a working wage. And God's superior plan was indentured servitude, not jails for criminals or the poor. And indentured servitude transforms bad people into good people. What's that? Rehabilitation? Prisons are supposed to rehabilitate people?
Only
right?
If they were Israelites and they were of the higher class people.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they were one of these Kachahundas, they're not redeemable. They're not rehabilitatable. They come out worse than they go in.
Yeah. But does today's prison system rehabilitate anybody? How?
No.
Okay. That doesn't happen. Okay.
I used the prison time as a time out where I could do nothing and get all this Bible research done. Because I was already a Yahweh believer. I went to prison basically for self-defense.
Right.
And because I was Christian Identity and they had to shut my Christian Identity radio station down. That was the only way they could get me off the air. They couldn't do it legally.
Yes.
So they set me up, and I took a fall. I had no, and then a guy snitched me out for big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And
rat.
Here we go.
Yes.
Time to go.
All right, folks.
Yahweh bless everybody.
Let's get rid of this penal system and go back to Yahweh's laws. What more can we say? Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you all next time.